If you could keep your Bible open or turn in your Bible to that passage that Dr. Douglas read in Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. And can I thank Reverend Martin for his words of welcome and also Mr. Graham as well. And can I add my request as well for your prayers for myself and for all of the students. We're in the exam time now and it's very hard to think about anything else really, until they're over and they almost completely take over your life altogether, and you're driving along the road and you're still trying to remember lists of things and scripture references and try to keep it all in your head. But pray that the Lord will help us and that everyone will get through. With God's word open before us, we'll seek his face together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we continue on in thy presence now in our Saviour's name. We thank thee that as we come to thy word, we can come once again to thee. We thank thee that we live by the word that proceeds out of thy mouth. And we pray that we would hear thy voice speaking to us even now. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray for his enablement to come and to take what is thine own truth and apply it to our hearts. We thank thee even as we come to passages of scripture that we have read before and considered before. Yet we thank thee that thy word always comes with freshness to our souls. We pray that that would be the case now. We pray for each and every heart. Thou alone knowest the hearts of men. And we pray that thy word would reach into each and every soul. Speak to the unsaved, we ask. Speak to thine own people. Minister to each and every heart. Exalt the Saviour. We pray that we would see him with the eye of faith. For we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. The idea of a wanderer returning home is something that fascinates our minds. And each year as we wait for winter to end and for summer to begin, we look out, or at least I do, for the return of the swallows. And the return of that little bird at the beginning of the summer, it marks to it the end of an immense journey and its arrival at the place of rest and provision. And our own experiences of returning after a long time to places that we have been to before, it causes us to remember times that are past and people that we have known, and we notice all the changes that have taken place. And returning home is a joyful thought for the traveller. And yet at the same time, there can be certain events that could tinge that joy with sadness. We can think of Judah in Genesis chapter 44. He had travelled to the land of Egypt with his brothers to get food in a time of famine, and he had promised his father Jacob that he would definitely bring his youngest brother Benjamin home again. But when Benjamin is refused permission to leave Egypt, the thought of returning home without him fills Judah with fear, and he says, "For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me?" And yet, whatever the reasons that cause us to leave home, no matter what sadness may accompany our return, yet there's something deep within us that always draws us back again. Home is where we belong. Home is where we are safe. Home is the place where our needs will be met. In Ruth chapter 1, we read of a family leaving their home. This family, a man called Elimelech, his wife Naomi, their two sons Mahlon and Chilion, left their home in Bethlehem in the land of Israel. Times were hard. There was a famine in the land, and thinking that they could survive better elsewhere, they went to the neighbouring country of Moab. And in leaving Bethlehem in the land of Israel, they were leaving the home that God had given to them. They were leaving the promised land, the land that God had given to his people, the land in which they were to dwell. Their departure from home was a departure from the will of God. It was a departure from what they knew to be right. It was a departure that indicated that they were leaving off living a life of faith, and they were going out to live their own life, their own way. But the story doesn't end there. For in verse 6 of the chapter we read of the return of one member of that family, Naomi. Verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Naomi reached a point in her life when she realized that she must go home. And that is what I'd like to consider this morning. Naomi's return to Bethlehem. Naomi's return to Bethlehem. We can think firstly of the place from which she returned. The place from which she returned. Verse 6 tells us that it was from the country of Moab that Naomi makes her return to Bethlehem. And this country of Moab that neighboured Israel, it was a place of wickedness. Wickedness. The Moabites were descended from Abraham's nephew Lot. They didn't worship the true and living God. They worshipped idols. And they even engaged in heathen practices of a god, false god called Chemosh. And their false worship even involved human sacrifices at times. In the book of Numbers, chapter 25, we read when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt that the Moabites lured them into sin in the most vile and evil manner that we could imagine. Naomi and her family, they were living among such people, even though as Israelites they would have known the sort of people that the Moabites were. And Naomi's return to Bethlehem from such a place reveals to us how far she had strayed from God. She had left the company of God's people. She had gone to live among the ungodly. And this does not remind us of how far the Lord's people can wander from Him. Perhaps you have experienced this. You know the blessing of God's grace. You know what it is to be brought into the family of God. You've received all of those precious promises of God to its people. And yet perhaps today finds you in a place of wickedness. Difficult times perhaps come into your life. Maybe you were influenced by the bad example of others and you've left off God's will. You've left off the place of fellowship with God and your life has become tied up with those who live in utter wickedness. This is what happened to Naomi. But remember, from such a place of wickedness, she returned home. And you can do the same. The place from which she returned was a place of wickedness. It was also a place of malice. Malice, this country of Moab and the people of Moab, they were opposed to Israel. They were simply the enemies of Israel. They refused to help Israel when Israel came out of Egypt. They tried to get a false prophet to curse Israel. In the book of Judges chapter 3, we read of how for a period of time, Eglon, the king of Moab, he oppressed Israel and they served the king of Moab for 18 years until God delivered them. Naomi and her family, they had not gone to live among friends. They had gone to live among enemies. They had left off their own people. They had gone to make their life among those who were completely against the truth of God. And how sad it is when God's people find themselves among the enemy. How tragic when the people of God find the company of the enemy more agreeable to them than the company of God's people. And yet it can happen. But from this place, living among the enemy, Naomi returned home. And you can do the same. If you find yourself in her position. It was a place of wickedness, a place of malice. It was also a place of grief. We read in this chapter that it was in the land of Moab that Naomi lost her husband and her two sons. Her husband, who as the head of the home bore the primary blame for the family departing from Israel, he died first. Verse 3 says, in Elimelech, Naomi's husband died and she was left and her two sons. And following this death, the family slipped into further sin. The two sons took wives of the women of Moab, and this was an alliance that brought the family into close ties with these idol worshippers. And then after that, in verse 4, we read that the sons also died, and she was left of her two sons and her husband. They had gone to Moab to seek a better life, to avoid famine, and yet they had found death there. And this reminds us how there is nothing but grief outside of the will of God. God's people cannot live happily in disobedience to Him. God's people are loved by Him, and so in love He chastens us for our sin so that we will leave that sin behind. In verse 13, Naomi acknowledges that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. His chastening hand brought her grief, but it was grief that came to her with the purpose of God, that it might bring her home again. And your heart may be full of grief and trouble this morning. Only you know whether or not it is a result of sin in your life. Not all our trouble, not every grief in our lives is caused by sin. There are many who walk well with God and they suffer much in this life. But what we see here in the life of Naomi is that particular unique grief that is brought into your life by straying from the will of God and wandering from Him. And if that's the kind of pain and grief you have in your heart this morning, then allow it to do for you what it did for Naomi, and to point you towards home. For it was from this place of sin and evil and pain, that she came home to her God again. We have the place from which she returned, but secondly, we can note the news that prompted her return. The news that prompted her return. The middle of verse 6 tells us of the news that she heard. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. When she was in Moab, she heard of how God had visited His people and how He had blessed them with bread. He had removed the famine. And this news that she heard, it was news about the nature of God's provision. The nature of God's provision. God had visited His people, giving them bread. The famine that had occurred in the land of Israel had been caused by sin. But God had now come and He had graciously restored His people to His favour. He had brought an end to the famine by providing bread. This was the means that He used to provide for their needs. This is what would meet their need. God had provided them with bread. And how challenging this must have been for Naomi. She was living among idol worshippers while God was moving in mercy among His people, providing their needs, giving them bread. And it must have made her realize all the more that she was outside of the will of God. She had missed out on His blessing. She wasn't enjoying His goodness and favor. And you may have done exactly the same. Wandered from the will of God. Left off fellowship with Him. Left off prayer. Wandered with companions in the world. Spiritually speaking, today you could be in Moab. And yet there is news for you that God has visited His people in giving them bread. And that bread is none other than our Savior Himself. The Lord said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. And in Him, and in Him alone, all of your needs can be met. If you're broken in heart over your sin and failure, He's the one who came to heal the broken in heart. If your sins are great, He is the one whose blood cleanses from all sin. If you feel that your failure and betrayal of Him is too much to be forgiven, He's the one who pardoned Peter. Peter who denied Him with oaths and with curses. If you need guidance, if you need wisdom to put your life back on track, He is the one who is wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You have no need. None of us this morning have any need that the Saviour cannot meet. He is the bread of life. When He died on the cross in our place, He purchased for us all that we need. And our sins may cause us to lose out in our enjoyment of God's provision, but God's provision is always there for us. We've only to go to the bread of life, go to the Lord Himself. We will find in Him every need supplied. She heard when she was in Moab, suffering in her sin. She heard about her God and the nature of His provision. She also heard about the faithfulness of God's provision. The faithfulness of God's provision. Verse 6 says, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. When she heard this, she was hearing of something that she already knew or something that she ought to have known already. Naomi came from Bethlehem. And that name, Bethlehem, means house of bread. In the very name, it indicated God's faithfulness in giving a supply of bread to His people. And God had given this promise to the nation of Israel when they came out of Egypt that in the promised land, all of their needs would be met and they would have bread. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we have that promise. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, really from verse 7 through to verse 9, but in verse 9 of Deuteronomy 8, it describes the promised land as a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. God is faithful to His promises. He had promised bread in the land of Israel, and He's keeping His word. And God's promises are always sure to His people. And yet God had also promised that if they sinned against Him in the land, if they turned their backs on Him when they were in the promised land, that He would bring famine upon them. In Leviticus chapter 26, we have that promise that their sin would be met with famine. In Leviticus chapter 26, verses 19, verses 20, He tells them there that the land shall not yield her increase because of their sin. And so this famine that had caused Naomi to leave Bethlehem, it was itself a reminder of God's faithfulness to His word. That God keeps His promises. He had promised that if they sinned, that famine would come upon the land. But yet He's also faithful in restoring His people again. Because in that chapter 26 of Leviticus, as we read of the chastenings that God brings upon His people, yet in verse 44 of that chapter, He says, I will not cast them away. Neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. In His great mercy and faithfulness, God restores His people again. He says, I am their God. They may have wandered from me, but I am their God and I will restore them again. And it's possible to wander from God's will, to miss out on the joy and blessing of the Lord, and yet He remains faithful. He says, I am your God, and He will not let you go. And so Naomi, she heard again in the land that she had wandered to. She heard of her God. She heard of His faithfulness. She heard of how he keeps his promises and how he will not give up on his people. And that news prompted her to go home again. And oh, today that you would hear about your God. You may have wandered from him, but he is faithful to you. And his provision remains. He's promised that he will chastise your sin. You will not prosper in rebelling against him, but he has promised that he will bring his people back to himself again. And so we have the place from which Naomi returned. We have the news that prompted her return. But thirdly and finally, we have the resolve evident in her return. The resolve evident in her return. If we look at that verse 6, it says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." There's a resolve here. Naomi is determined that she is going home. And this resolve, it was in obedience to God. It wasn't in obedience to God. Naomi knew that God was calling her to come home. And she was resolved to do what God was requiring of her. This verse indicates that it was hearing of God's moving among his people that prompted her to return. In verse 13, as we've already noticed, she said that the Lord had been chastening her for her sin. In verse 21 of the chapter, when she had reached Bethlehem, she says, "The Lord hath brought me home again." God called her to return from the path of sin, and she obeyed. And the Lord does not give up on his wandering sheep. He calls them to return. Perhaps this morning he is calling you. You may have wandered far from him. And today his voice calls for you to return. Perhaps his hand has been moving in your life and you have heard his voice often before, and yet you have refused until now to return, but yet it is in mercy that he calls. And oh, that you would follow Naomi's example and say, "I am determined, I am going home." She knew that she had sinned. She knew that the things that had happened to her had been God's just chastening of her. And her return is itself a picture of repentance. She turned around and she went back to where she had lost out with God. And today your heart may be sad and broken because of your sin. But don't just mourn over your sin. Be resolved, "I'm turning around, I'm leaving it behind, I'm going home." This resolve that she had to go home, it was in obedience to God. It was in spite of the difficulties. In spite of the difficulties, we read in verse 6 of her returning with her daughters-in-law. Naomi, as she decides to go home, she was in difficult circumstances. She had two daughters-in-law that she felt some measure of responsibility toward. She challenged them in those verses from 8 through to 18 to see whether or not they really wanted to go with her. Orpah goes back to her own people, and then Ruth, she resolves to go on with Naomi. But these were not easy circumstances to deal with. Naomi was returning to Bethlehem without a husband, without sons. She was without any family wealth. She told her daughters-in-law that she had no means of providing for them. And yet, in spite of all of these difficulties, she was resolved that she was going to go home. She was determined to go home, in spite of the emotional ties in Moab. Her husband, her sons were buried in that land, and yet she did not let that hold her back from returning to Bethlehem. Before her lay a journey that was difficult, was full of many uncertainties. How would she be received in Bethlehem? What sort of life would there be for her there now? But in spite of these difficulties that were very real, she was resolved, she was going home. And I don't know what difficulties may stand between you and returning to the Lord. Your sin may have caused you great complication and difficulty. But follow Naomi's example. Be resolved in spite of the difficulties. I am going home. We see her determination there in verse 6. And then we see how it's lived out in verse 19 of the chapter when she goes with Ruth. It says, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. By God's grace, she kept going until she got there. She had to travel out of Moab. She had to cross the River Jordan. She had to get into the land of Israel. Once she got into the land of Israel, she had to keep going, climbing some 2,000 feet into the hills until she reached Bethlehem. But in spite of all of the difficulties and the length of the journey, she was determined she was going home. And oh, this morning that you would have that determination. Whatever stands in my way, I am going home. Resolve to go home, it was in obedience to God, it was in spite of the difficulties. It was also rewarded by God. It was rewarded by God. Verse 21, she's back home again. And she says in verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. She acknowledges that when she went out, she was full. She had everything. When she left God's will, He had been good to her. She had all she needed. And when she comes back from wandering in her sin, she returns home empty. And sin empties a life of peace and of joy and of happiness and of contentment. Sin always empties a life. And yet what grace and mercy there is in those words. The Lord hath brought me home again. Sin took her away, and yet grace brought her home again. The Lord had to remove many things from her so that she was empty, but yet it was to bring her home. And God in His love brings His people home again. And now at home, she would not remain empty. Naomi could not have imagined what the Lord was going to do for her. A mighty man of wealth would marry her daughter-in-law, Ruth. He would restore the family's inheritance. And from Naomi's daughter-in-law would come within just a couple of generations, King David himself. And in the fullness of time, from that same family, in that same place, Bethlehem, would be born the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. She came home empty. But oh, the fullness of God's restoration. And you cannot imagine the welcome that the Lord has for you if you would but resolve to return. The prodigal son, when he decided to go home, thought he would say to his father that he was no longer worthy to be called his son. He could be a hired servant. Yet when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and ran and embraced him. Was he going to be a hired servant? This my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. There are no hired servants in the family of God, only his sons and his daughters. And he welcomes them home again. And the same welcome is also afforded to the sinner who has never come to know the Lord. As Naomi was making her return, Ruth was coming with her for the first time. She was leaving behind her old life, leaving behind her idol worship, leaving behind her sin and her own self-righteousness, and she was coming to know the God of Israel, the true and living God, and the same welcome was extended to her. And this morning, if you're not saved, you've never come to know the Lord, you cannot wander from Him, for you've never come to know Him, but yet you're far from Him, you're in your sin, and you're without hope, and your sin is taking you day by day, step by step, towards the awful pit of hell itself. And yet there is a welcome for you into the home and into the family of God, if you'll but leave your sin behind and say, I am going to give my life and heart to Christ, receive Him as my Saviour. Is it not then time to come home? Naomi had wandered for 10 years in Moab. Perhaps for you it has been longer. But it's time now to come home. The longer you delay, the more pain and misery you will endure, and the harder it will be to come home. And so say, I'm coming now. I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. May it be so for His name's sake. Amen.